tap two temples.
There you go.
For anyone who doesn't know why that's funny, she wore a cone bra. Hoo-hoo.
I think a lot of our listeners are older listeners and would get that joke.
I'm surprised you knew that joke.
I feign ignorance sometimes just to piss off Anthony and you too. It's very fun.
Hey, why don't you start the episode for us there, Chief?
Yeah.
Welcome to This Week in MTG with your hosts, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic folk, to episode 229 of This Week in MTG, your aggregate news podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your lubed up hosts. That sounds bad.
That sounds real bad.
I'm Matt. No Danny tonight. He's playing Call of Duty.
And resting from a big chip.
Yeah. Rest, little rock star. Over there is the Bugs Bunny Madonna combination. Oh, my God. The Bugs Bunny Madonna combination.
Meld card.
Yeah. This needs to happen.
Let's
now.
Go.
Let's go.
Big G. And if that confuses it at all, I guess join the Patreon for the pre-show. On
yeah.
That
you got to have the Patreon if you want to know more about that.
Or just join the fucking Discord. I'm sure we talked about it somewhere, or
yeah.
Will.
Yeah. One of those. Join the Discord. Discord's free. Patreon. You pay for that, as everybody knows and stuff. I guess I got to read this thing here. And the only one allowed to have dragons, just Anthony.
Rar.
And with all the trolls, too.
And slivers.
You know, the universe you know what's even worse, though?
Universe beyond.
That ketchup on his shirt.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm not looking down.
The man, the mythic, the legendary ketchup stain.
Gyre!
We're all glad that you decided to join us for this episode. Going to take a moment at the top of the episode to extend a thank you to all the dedicated listeners of the pod. We're grateful for the opportunity to bring you the latest updates, insights, and discussions in the world of Magic each week. Here's to many more episodes of shared excitement and community in the realm of Magic the Gathering. Furthermore, we'd like to express our deep appreciation to the Patreons of the podcast. Their generous monetary support directly contributes to the success and continued growth of the show. And you get access to the pre-show of us open flippy dot drinky old ass packs.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Madonna Bugs Bunny joke will make sense. Yeah. So big thank you to Amu the Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, Nomad, Christian, Barra, KCB, Ricky R, Chris O, Ranger Dan, Crazy Mage, Whack P, and Wade. Thank you to each and every one of you. If you guys listening to this right here, right now, are entertained by or enjoying the content that we have produced for you, you don't have to be a Patreon to support us. Go into the podcast app you're using right meow to rate and review us. Helps us rank up in those recommendation feeds for other Magic players to find. Another way that you can do it is by telling your grandma about us, telling Mel Blanc about us, or Morgan Freeman. Tell Morgan Freeman about us.
Yeah.
If you do that,
tell
please.
Them. Tell
take a pick.
Yeah.
Now, we'd be remiss if we did not mention our LGS sponsor, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. Speaking of, let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
Thank you, J-Dubs, for supporting us. Now, Matt, hit us with that breakdown.
Yeah. So, starting off, we're going to go over to the Boggle Desk, where we're going to have a Salt and Sugar report. We're going to have the Mist NRG report from our lovely Big G from last week.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be talking about the Pro Tour Outlaws of Thunder Junction as well. There is also upcoming events that we're going to tell you about. Following that, we're going to jump into the news, where we have in-store event stuffs, the survey, a new partnership with Wizards, and the Hasbro Q1 reports. So yeah, let's just start off with the Boggle Desk then.
Well, you know what? Let's have Anthony go first so I can hit my flow and not be interrupted.
The flow. Just sugar, baby.
All sugar?
It's all sugar.
It's going to be a short story or like a...
No, it's a short story.
Short? Like short?
Short.
Oh, I wear short shorts. You wear short shorts.
No, I wear long shorts. No, just had a really good weekend playing Commander on Friday and Saturday. Almost played Sunday. We didn't get a pot together.
Ah.
Nomad, Chris, and myself were trying to, no fourth. And then I got
busy. Were trying to do that in the afternoon. That's why.
Yeah, no, I understood that. I said, like, yeah, if you get a fourth, I'll join. But yeah, no, my sugar was, I got to play my...
Degenerate Magic.
It wasn't degenerate, okay? You were part of it. That was a different problem for some other stuff. But that's not the point. The sugar is that I played my two 5-color decks that I really enjoy, which were Dragons and Slivers. And I did what I did best.
I will give everybody 2 guesses at who those commanders were.
I mean, I hope they can figure it out. Ur-Dragon and Overlord, but yeah.
And there you go.
And they're fun. Good time.
Spirit of the format for you folks.
I mean, realistically, I am doing the spirit of the format. I am playing with giant creatures that do cool interactions, and I'm not playing a CDH deck.
Yeah, and you're a very greedy motherfucker that doesn't want to share your dragons.
Listen, like Chris told you, I'm the only one that's allowed to have dragons at that table.
I was playing my Anowon the Rune Thief pre-con deck, mind you. 100% pre-con. Nothing touched in that at all. And I made Anthony mill some cards. He had a Teneb in there, which was beautiful. Teneb,
yeah.
It reanimates creatures from any graveyard when it connects.
It does.
And that's perfect for me because I'm milling cards.
Yeah, it was great.
It's great. And then he just decides to go and bolt his boy with the Thunderbreak Regents?
No, it's the Invasion of Tarkir that flips over into Defiant Thundermaw.
There we go.
Which, that's a really cool card if anyone doesn't play it.
100% cool card.
Like, super fucking good.
But yeah, bolts his own boy, makes me lose my flyer.
Yeah, I killed Kicks Out of Nowhere for fun. As Chris said to me, or says to the entire group, you can't trust him with this. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's his choice. I'm going to attack step. So anyways, it was good. I had a lot of fun. I like bringing out the big creature stuff because it's kind of fun to play with versus my other decks that I play that are a little bit more
taxi.
Or anything. No, I'm not letting you have my dragons, dude. They're mine. So that's all I got. Garrett, take it away.
All right. So, NRG, I had a lot of fun. Regardless of anything, I had a lot of fun. I did drop out of the main event after five rounds.
Reminder, this was 2 weeks ago for the NRG Minneapolis event.
Correct. And I brought the good old allies down. And I had shit tons of fun. My 100% sugar.
Okay.
Side quest. 100% achievement.
Ooh, what was the achievement?
Somebody has to read my card.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
Yep. So the best part was round one, sat down, I think I played Cavern of Souls and I played Hot of Freeblade. And the guy's like, what the fuck is this? I made a big point of it too. And I'm like, side quest done. Wrote it in my notebook. So round one, played a creativity deck, played Jund Creativity. And that one was a little bit of a slug match, a little bit back and forth, which was nice. Lost. Round two, actual creativity.
Oh, the 4-color one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost. Got swept on that one. Let's see. Round three. Where did I play round three again?
Moments where you wish you had your notepad.
I know. I played 2 creativities. I played a mill. I won against the mill.
Okay.
That was round 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was round 4. So now I got to figure. Oh, round 3 was.
Murktide?
No. Fucking shit.
A tier 1 deck, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
Hammer Time. Yawgmoth?
I didn't.
Footfalls?
Nope.
Domain Zoo?
Nope. I played Domain.
Living End.
Domain Zoo was round 5.
Okay.
Mill was round 4. The fuck
Tron?
Play round 3.
Tron?
Prime Time? We'll just start tossing out all these deck names.
I don't remember.
I mean, all these are tier ones.
Yeah, I went back and forth with that one, though. Split. Mill, I split. But game two, the fun. So the thing I have about round four.
Yeah.
By this point.
You face Nomad. Knew it.
No. Nomad got pissed that, or no, he got excited that I played a Mill deck, but it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I know what's going to happen in that situation. I'm going to lose.
Womp womp.
Yeah. But the round four salt I have is all of a sudden the judge comes over to us after we finish our first game. And he goes, hey, congratulations. You've been randomly selected for a deck check.
Ah.
I looked at our table number. I'm like, I looked at him. I looked at our table number. And I went, okay. We're at table 104. Why the fuck you bugging us?
True.
But
he just wanted to check out your kick-ass allies. That's all it was.
Yeah, I was about to say, how often, how many allies? I don't think we saw. Did we look at the whole list?
Well, I couldn't.
I think you were the only allies.
When I was getting it into the melee thing for my deck list, I couldn't type out the deck on my phone.
Okay.
So weird. I just had to go with Jeskai aggro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which really sucked.
Bam, bam.
But the person, because I did check like right away, I'm like, hey, like the person at the control center, like, hey, I submitted my deck list. I just want to know.
Can you change this?
If you can change the name. He's like, and they were like, let me check. What's your name? Garrett Anderson. Oh, Jeskai aggro. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, what do you want to change about it? I want to change it to what it actually is. I want it to be Jeskai allies. He's like, allies? Did you say allies?
Did you say
and he's
allies?
Looking at the list and he's like, I'm keeping this up. I'm going to look at this later. I was like, hell yeah, you are. You look at that later.
That guy was so intrigued.
You enjoy.
Oh.
They definitely enjoyed it.
That's like, I could tell. That's like one of the best parts about going in with such a rogue deck is like people always go,
oh. No, not rogue, allies.
Yeah, it was an allies deck, not a rogue deck.
Wow.
Come on, Anthony, get
womp,
it right.
Womp, womp.
Hey, did you know you got some ketchup on your shirt?
I'm going to fuck you up, dog.
But then the next best thing with the mill round was game two, I tried to out-mill the mill deck. Hint. Didn't fucking work.
not your strong suit, huh?
Not that game.
No.
You kept milling shit.
That's how it goes, man.
Believe it or not.
The deck was doing what the deck was doing.
But then I came out swinging game three in that one. So, and then round four, I finally went up against a Domain Zoo deck.
Five?
Yep, five color.
No, round five.
Round five.
Yeah, that was
round five.
You just said round four. You went
Sorry. Yeah, round five, because I knew I was going to drop after round five, but I wanted to go play.
Of course.
Because then I ended up dropping to get into the Reese queue,
yep.
Which I'll explain that.
Reese's Puffs, Reese's Puffs.
But then I was like, well, any freaking pregame action, ley line, motherfuck.
Here we go.
It's like, well. I look at my hand. I look at him. I go, we're going to see how this goes. Play, lose. I'm like, all right, cool. Sideboard in the wear and tears. I'm like, all right, fucker. I got you this time. I'm going to mill down to a wear and tear. See how fucked up you get. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Play. Play your ley line. I dare you. Plays two.
Ah.
It's like, fuck, I only have one wear and tear in my hand.
I need a second.
So I look at him, I'm like, I'm going to kill one of your wear and tears. He's like, all right.
One of your guilt ley lines?
I'm going to.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yep.
I'm going to wear away one of your ley lines.
So then jumped into the re-CQ, which was, it was a single elimination, five rounds. Lost right away.
Still playing allies?
Playing allies.
Okay.
Lost to a fucking Thassa's Oracle deck.
No.
Womp.
So
Oracle.
Pissed. Oh,
man.
So pissed.
Of all ways to lose.
Because I'm sitting there like, okay, I think this works the way I think it does. Because he did the whole mill, leave one card, it's Thassa's Oracle, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, I'm going to fucking Solitude that shit up. And it's like, oh, never mind. The ability is on the fucking stack.
Yeah.
It stays there. Shit.
Yeah. That, like, makes it.
I don't get it. And I'm going to direct.
What's up?
My eyesight this way.
Just don't look at my shirt, please.
I just don't understand how some people find playing with themselves at a table across from somebody else, just sitting and playing with themselves, is fun.
It's called a kink, Garrett. No kink shame in the nation.
I mean, I'm the spirit of the format. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm shaming this kink. play with yourself in your private time. Nobody wants to see you do that in front of us.
But I can get paid for that, though.
Well, then do it somewhere else. Start your OnlyFans account, because I don't want to see it.
OnlyFans account, we play in Tron or something.
Danny did open us an OnlyFans this weekend.
Maybe that's how we make
that. He's so fucking hilarious.
Watch this burly man play with himself, and you got all these freaking... We post a picture of Anthony, like without a shirt on, just...
And a ketchup stain?
Yep, ketchup stain right on the chest hairs.
Right on the rug.
Coming down just, the side of the mouth.
Just like that's the picture. And then...
Just pulls it up.
Here's the... Like pay this amount to see this guy play with himself. And it's just motherfucker shuffling.
I'm just shuffling cards. All of a sudden I'm playing Tron. One game I'm playing Dredge. Another game I'm just playing Thassa's Oracle type things. Pull out the CDH deck to do
You got to think about like the different catchphrases you can do of just what decks you're playing.
You're going to play Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this guy play with his hammer.
Watch this guy drop the hammer. So I placed a Gardas.
That was fun.
Colossus Hammer.
Other highlights from the trip. Wade, I'm worried about him. He's super clumsy.
Yeah.
He stumbled into top 50?
No. We got down to the cities, got in the hotel, checked in, all that, got our stuff up there. Him and Dylan, they both fucking tripped to the elevator.
Yeah.
Down 19 floors.
Yeah.
Into an Uber, and they tripped all the way to the casino.
Oh my God. Happens, man. Sometimes it's one little thing.
Are they fall okay? Right over.
You know the worst part about that is? Wade did it again the next night.
Oh, my God. He didn't learn.
Well,
didn't watch his step.
Dylan kind of learned, except for he tripped into the sake when we went out to supper.
Whee!
And also was the old fucking man on this trip, because we went out and had supper, and one of the kids that came with wasn't like a part of our room, but a lot of these guys knew each other because they go to the RCQs and all that stuff. Yep, yep. And one of them's like, guys, look at my 21-year-old ID, but my picture's from when I'm 16. I'm like, how the fuck old are you? And one of them's like, I'm 21. The other one's like, I'm 20. I'm like, what? And then he makes some offhanded comment about, oh, yeah, people in their 40s. And I'm like, motherfucking Christ, I'm close to my 40s. Leave me alone. I'm just sitting there, and somebody's like, you making fun of Garrett? They're like, Garrett, how old are you? I'm 33, man. Holy shit.
You're almost in your 40s. You got 7 years.
I'm closer to 40 than I am 21.
Yep.
So?
I hear you, dog.
But, yeah, no, it was overall. I had a lot of fun. We picked out Wade some.
Danny's selling sniff.
Yeah.
Danny, nobody cares.
Yeah. Help Wade pick out some golf clubs.
Oh, is he going to be golfing?
Yeah. With his political endeavors, he is understanding that he should.
Fair.
You got to learn. Have you some better be a golfer, golf clubs. Man. You got to golf.
And not the clubs that his mom bought him at a garage sale when he was in ninth grade.
Nah, he can't be rocking.
They didn't work anymore.
No, he just felt like he should have a little bit more professional looking clubs and stuff. So,
oh, look at my club.
He sent me a text before we went, and he's like, hey, do you want to pick out golf clubs with me? And I looked at my wife. I'm like, I think Wade's trying to seduce me right now.
Trying to seduce me.
I think he's trying to seduce me.
Honey, how do you feel about this? Like, look at this. And this is the most promiscuous thing anybody could text me.
She laughed, and
right
she's
now.
Like, what did he send you? I'm like, he wants to go pick out golf clubs. I'm like, and she goes, oh, shit.
This is serious. I might lose my husband.
No, she just laughed because she's like, you're not allowed to buy any new clubs. I'm like, I know I'm not allowed to buy any new clubs, but...
Doesn't mean I can't look at new clubs.
Doesn't mean I can't grab the driver out of Wade's hand and just fucking swing it a few times.
Yeah, this feels good. You should go with this one, yeah.
You know what? You should get two.
You should get two just in case you lose one. One
for you, one for me.
You should get two just in case you lose one.
Sign it off on your super pack.
Right. But no, it was a fun time. I definitely had a lot of fun piloting my deck. I had a couple people go, oh, allies, okay. Two people out of all the matches I played were like, I know allies, but I don't remember what they all do.
How much gray hair do they have?
None. Because one of the guys Children. Was like, oh, dude, a buddy of mine at my LGS plays allies all the fucking time. But he plays different variants. I'm like, dude, I've been playing allies since they were standard. He's like, oh, shit, you're old. I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of.
You got me good.
But
me
good. Talking about some more professional level gameplay.
Professional.
Pro Tour Thunder Junction.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Ha ye.
There were 207 people out of the 250 enrolled players. This format was draft, standard, draft. So. Trying to figure out how this works again with this.
Going all the way down to the end is probably the best. You know, you got like.
Yeah, you got semifinals, finals, stuff.
Because that's where it matters. It's like, yeah, the draft was great. Everybody is talking about how great Thunder Junction draft is.
Oh, fuck. Have you played Seal even that? It's amazing. It's got some crazy fucking decks.
Frank Carson, I just posted in our limited chat that there are...
For the first time ever.
Yeah, for the first time ever. Our limited chat. Frank Carson wrote an article for CFB about 20 possible back-breaking game-winning combos that you can do in limited with Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the Big Score, Breaking News cards, and whatever the fourth fucking things are in the set. So the limited format, very positive. Pros liked it as well. But the big meat and potatoes of the Pro Tour is standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Format I don't play.
You see,
and I'm okay with it.
If allies came back, what if we get allies in Bloomborough? Bloomborough allies.
To quote Hawkeye, don't promise me anything. Don't give me hope.
You're a fan of MASH too?
And I'm the fucking show. Old one.
That's a good show, man.
It is a great show.
I'm the old one.
It's so sad. Not gonna lie, that show made me want to steal. Anyways.
So mine doesn't go to finals. It just goes to round 18.
Hit round 17. That gives you quarterfinals. 18 is your semis, and 19 is the finals.
Yeah.
Home slice. What? It doesn't go to the finals. It's weird. Fuck.
Home slice. Did you click on 19? Anyone else click on 19 and see that it didn't happen?
I did.
I did not click on it.
The thing is Yoshi...
It came down to Azorius Control and Domain Ramp.
Yeah. The top eight on top here is the actual top eight results of the players here.
Yeah. So we can go by off that if we need to.
So Domain Ramp 1.
Yes.
Yoshihiko Ikawa.
Thank you. Which has Archangel of Wrath, Stomper, Grand Unifier, and then...
Imodane's Recruiter.
Thank you.
Imodane!
Leyland Binding, Up the Beanstalk, Spelunking.
Yeah, Spelunking.
Herd Migration, Sunfall, Depopulation, Glimpse of the Core... Cartographer Survey, Long Goodbye, and then you got some lands.
I'd hope so.
Good mix.
Here's going to be the thing. If you guys have more input on standard, go for it. I really don't have more input.
Well, Matt was watching this weekend. I was watching this weekend. Wade was saying that he was watching this weekend. So, I mean, we had a few of us watching. I didn't watch like every single match, but I was keeping up with what just was going on. So, overall... Like, you have your standardized things of Esper midrange being big, of course.
I think that had, like,
Esper Legends, whatever.
I think that was a 23% meta share.
Something like that, yeah.
From all the pros. It was the deck going into the weekend. Domain Ramp here, I think, was, like, 7%.
Yeah, it was really low.
Very low.
And then, of course, Sean Goddard, who made it into top eight, he was rocking a pretty spicy new deck.
Oh, we talked about this one. The Teamer Analyst deck won. Was it? It wasn't entered. SEG?
Yeah, it was SEG one that won a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we talked about it because...
Wasn't that last week? No, last week I had the card for...
you had the card for MTG Stocks.
Aftermath Analyst for the stocks, but that was in the standard deck that was causing it to go up and everything.
Correct.
But yeah, this is a spicy one just because like it plays around the whole thing of like it's using all of your... a lot of your courtyards and stuff, all
the sack of all
the new Capennas,
Riveteers, Outlook, Mastrios, Theater, Cabaret.
Brokers, Cabaret, Riveteers. So it's utilizing a lot of the cards of like the kind of newer panorama fetching lands, and new Capenna. You're just doing a crazy fucking amount of ramping in this deck, and then like your top end way of your wins. For like his deck, it has a lot to do with you're using the World Soul's Rage to kill with if you need to by like just a massive amount of damage, or you're also using the thing that's in the sideboard, which is the Doppelgang.
Yep. Big ramp, make a lot of copies.
And you make copies of every fucking permanent in play pretty much. So if your opponent has a really giant board, you get to make a fuck ton of copies then of their stuff and then go ham with it.
Little side note, a lot of online streamers and Magic content creators are loving this card. You got LSV playing this, making videos on YouTube. You also have Saffron Olive doing it as well, multiple different versions. Doppelgang is a crazy card. But
yeah, and that's the thing. It's all about a ramping. So, I mean, this is your type of style deck that's very similar. In a comparison note, it's very similar to like your Amulet Titan type design style play. Like you're using your Virtue of Strength to not only like gain yourself some land advantage, but you're also trying to play those out so you can ramp your mana out to be crazy. This also is a deck too that has a lot more focus on a basic package versus having the overall like special lands that do stuff, because like you're just using them for fetches.
16 basics.
Yeah, that's a fucking lot of basics.
Out of 30 lands, over half are basics.
I mean, in a comparison of most decks that like you might find an average of maybe like somewhere between 2-5% range of basics in a deck, like this deck is basic heavy. And let me say one thing, it does the fucking work. And then the best part is you have Aftermath Analysis, you have Nissa Resurgent Animus, and then you get to use Shigeki, Jukai Visionary, which also does a lot of work of bringing stuff back and recursion of your spells and things for that. And I don't think they have... Is it Virtue of Strength? So Virtue of Strength is the card you're using with Shigeki, because you return Shigeki to like reinvigorate your steps of what you're doing. There's also like combos that play with using him as a really good recursion piece too. But anyways, no, this fucking deck is on fire. Like it's so good. But granted though, it didn't win past the quarterfinals, because I think Sean ended up playing... Who did he play? He played the Domain Ramp deck. So he had a really tough matchup. But Domain Ramp is a pretty strong stand right now, too.
Yeah, he lost to the winning player, Ikawa.
Yep.
Other decks, notice here. One Esper Midrange made it into the top 8.
Yep.
I don't know. There's not a lot to talk about with that. It's, you know, Wandering Emperor, Denik, Fairy Mastermind, Rafine, Aklazatz.
No, there's two in the top 8.
There's two? Where's the other one?
Lucas Dukeskow for 6.
Oh, yep. Missed it down there. My bad.
Another one that's really interesting, too, that made it was Jason Yee. He had 4 Color Legends. This was a really interesting one, too. I watched on one of the matchups that I saw on Saturday. And this is the one that has... It's all about legendary creatures, so, like, of course. But what's really cool about it, though, is it's running, like, Slowgurk, the Overslime... you get Inti, Seneschal of the Sun. You have Rona. You have Honest Rusting out of Outlaws, which is a great card.
Yeah, one of the things is with this is the combo of Rutstein, Rona, and what's the other part of it? It's the Relic of Legends to untap.
Yes, using Relic of Legends.
Tap and untap legendary. Oh, no, tap and untapped. What are you using all of that reduced cost for with Rona and stuff? Because you tap Rona.
Oh, Goose Mother.
Goose Mother.
Because Goose Mother is X and blue green, X and green blue, 2/2 legendary creature bird hydra flying. Enters battlefield X plus plus encounters. When the goose mother enters the battlefield, create half X food tokens, rounded up. And whenever goose mother attacks, you may sacrifice a food.
I don't see a goose mother.
Draw a card. Is it with titanium, maybe?
That's a different deck, right?
No, I'm looking at the one. Wait.
I think you clicked the wrong one. This is the Legends deck we're talking about, right?
No, I clicked the other one that was in top of number 5. Sorry. My bad. Yeah, I'm on the Legend one. I'm on the one you're on now with Jason Yee. Tiny Bones, Aklazot, Deepest Betrayal. God, what's he using this for again?
Rutstein reduces the cost of all the legendaries.
Well, the thing you can do with Rutstein, too, is like you can loop him for Rutstein's himself.
Yeah, there it is.
Honest Rutstein can loop himself, and so you always keep it.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Creature spells you cast cost one less to cast, which makes everything one less.
Well, the other thing, too, is like you can also toss. You're just tossing all your legends there, and you're just pulling them back right away, so it's not a big deal.
Is this a Slowgirk thing with the lands?
It
really shined here. Whenever a land card is put into your graveyard from anywhere, remove 3 counters, return it to its owner's hand. When it leaves the battlefield, return up to 3.
He has a lot of cyclers and channel lands, so yeah, that's...
Yeah, there's probably
Slowgirk is utilizing that a lot.
Slowgirk playing there.
Yeah, because when he enters the battlefield, when he leaves the battlefield, return up to 3 target land cards from your graveyard to your hand. So yeah, Slowgirk's just going to reutilize... You just keep recycling all your stuff. So, and then Honest Rutstein is just an extra piece to that process of you keep recycling these powerful legendary creatures. So anyways, but yeah, other than that, I mean, like this was awesome. Azorius Control, you know, that was another huge thing too. We haven't seen a control deck, in like Pioneer, Standard, or Modern really pop up for a long time. So this was kind of a big thing, and being like the second place deck of the whole tournament as well. But yeah, otherwise, like it was, from what I was able to watch, I would say this was a very, very good interpretation of what Standard will be going forward, and like how enjoyable it is, and also the diversity of what Standard can be. So I think this shows a really good placement of the idea that we are at, you know, four sets on rotation level stuff.
Yeah.
So
Standard's been very hyped. WotC has done a pretty solid job, I would say, of their revitalizing Standard initiative that they started last year.
I agree.
Ready for the next bit?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, we got an arena open coming this weekend. Ooh. So, like most arena opens, there's a best of one and a best of three competition. The only way you can play on day two is if you win day one. You can win as many day one tokens as you want, but you can only cash in one of them. So you might as well just get one and call it good. There you go. Boom. Wonderful.
Anybody going to play the arena open this weekend?
I am golfing this weekend.
With Wade and his new golf clubs.
I don't know if he's gotten his new golf clubs all yet. He had to get the irons and added an extra inch.
Giggity?
Kind of.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So they had to be special ordered for him. So it'll be about 2 weeks.
Jared, I looked up your deck on the Melee stuff.
Yeah.
It says Jeskai Aggro there.
I know. They couldn't change it.
Womp. Oh, well.
But you're there. Allies. It's allies.
But you're there.
We know it is.
We know what it was.
All right. So best of one matches. You have 7 wins to earn yourself an invitation for day two. Best of 3, 4 wins earns you that invitation. Now you can start with this event May 4th, 6 a.m. specifically Pacific time. And sign up closes on May 5th, 3 a.m. specifically Pacific time. You'll have 3 hours to complete your current run, but you won't be able to join after the deadline. Matches in progress will be allowed to finish. And then day one ends May 5th at 6 a.m. specifically Pacific time. To enter, you need 25K in gold or 5K in gems for both the best of one and best of three. And this is the format itself is best of one or best of three. Thunder Junction sealed.
Ooh.
Yeehaw. So yeah. You get yourself some fancy Outlaws of Thunder Junction sleeves for entering.
Oh, buddy.
But then, day one prizes. Here you go. 7 wins gets you 500 gems in the best of one and a day two invitation. 6 wins gets you 2,500 gems. 5 wins, 1,000. 0 to 4, nothing. You get zilch. Now, if you're over in the best of three competition, four wins gets you 6K in gems with that D2 invitation. Three wins gets you 5K. Two wins, 3K. And one win, 1,500. Zero wins, you get nothing.
Oh, man.
And as we've talked about long and before, you want to play in day two, you got to win day one. You got to get that day two token. And we're going to bypass a little bit of the normal spiel because
it's always the same.
You gotta get into day two to even have it matter to you anyway.
Yeah.
So here we go. Day two, draft one, because it's going to be two drafts. Okay. So it's a best of three. Four wins gets you a draft two invitation for day two with double elimination status. Mm-hmm. Three wins gets you a day two or a draft two day two invitation with single elimination. Two wins get 2,500 get 2,500 gems. One win, 1,500. Zero wins, you get 500 still. Now draft two. This is where the cash prizes come in. Four wins gets you 2K in a cash prize and the June qualifier weekend invitation. Three wins gets you $1,000 and that invitation for the June qualifier weekend. Two wins, $500, and that June invitation.
Oh, nice, nice.
If you get one win, you get 15,000 in gems. Zero wins, you still walk away with 5,000. Mm. So there you go. Now, couple of things. You do need to have a Wizards account or any of the various other accounts that they normally list, which are where. There we go. Here is the eligibility. You must be 18 or older because it's cash prizes. Regional eligibility restrictions apply, void where prohibited. So if your country doesn't qualify, you don't get to do this. Receiving monetary rewards requires having or creating a Wizards DCR iPayout account. iPayout accounts cannot be created in advance. And the rest of the official terms and conditions are detailed on the website. There you go. The shortest version of an arena open we have ever done. I think Danny would be proud.
Good.
Awesome. Now, let's talk about some local events. So here we go. The fast rundown. Standard showdown at Paradox starts at 6:30 on Tuesday. Commander night, also Tuesday, starts at 5. Friday night Magic has Modern, Draft, and Commander. Commander starting at 5 o'clock and Modern and Draft starting at 6:15. J-Dubs. Standard Showdown, Tuesday, starting at 6. Commander Night, Thursday, starting at 6. Friday Night Magic, normally, Standard and Commander, starting up at 6:30. Modern League, weekly on Saturday, starting at noon, unless there's other events. Legacy League, Sundays, starting at noon, unless there's other events. We will also talk, we've got some store championships coming up that didn't make their way into the show notes. My bad.
I'll just mention them here real quick. We got Little Big Wars having their Outlaws of Thunder Junction store champs this Saturday at 12 p.m. $20 entry. It's standard format. There will be promos to the first and top eight and participation promos for everybody while supplies last. Also, J-Dub Sports Cards, same time, Outlaws Thunder Junction Sports... at Store Champs.
Outlaw Sports? Sweet.
Outlaw Sports. $20 entry, promos and store credit, top eight. That's for participation. Top eight, exclusive promos and store credit, champion, exclusive promos, store credit.
Hey, are we going 3-for-3 on the store championships?
Is Paradox also this weekend that I missed?
I thought this was this past weekend.
They had the RCQs this past weekend.
Oh, they had RCQs this past weekend.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask, did anybody see how they did? Did they make a post?
I did not get a post from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going. Well, I find
stuff. Okay. So then Jada or Ultima Gaming's Monday nights, they have their Oathbreaker pod starting up at 6. Commander night Wednesday starting up at 6. And Friday night Magic, normally Pioneer and Commander starting up at 6.
Nice, nice.
You're not on here.
I don't think you're on the right one, Matt.
Bet you I can find it quicker.
You gotta go to the Magic one. Down, third one.
Searching is great. Yeah, yes, Store Champ.
Saturday, 1 p.m.
11th, next Saturday.
May 11th.
May 11th, the following
Oh, look at that.
1 p.m.
Three for three. There we go.
Entry $24.99. Seems like the same price as before. Exclusive promos with the Paradox WPM Premium. This has Paradox's name on them, so that sets them above.
Yep.
Same with first through eighth. They get that as well. And we are taking care of that.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Get out of here, you bot.
Yeah. So Paradox.
Next weekend. This weekend. Next weekend.
The 11th, there you go. One.
Hey, you know what? Let's jump to the news.
Yeah.
Starting off, let's talk about in-store events, since we're just talking about in-store stuff. Draft at a WPM store in May, get rewarded in June on Arena. This was just announced today. Quote from the article, what's better than drafting at your local WPN retailer? Getting a reward for doing so on your Arena account. So the whole gist of it is drafting three times in WPM stores, get one draft token on Arena for the entire month of May, plus score a bonus card, style, and sleeve. So for the month of May, we're running a special promo that lets you get your own big score in the form of sweet rewards on Arena for drafting, specifically drafting, at WPM retailers. All you have to do is use your Wizards account that is connected to Arena to enter and play in a booster draft event at your WPN store. Players will receive rewards for up to three booster drafts. Oh, so you can do it three times and get this three times. Mm-hmm. So you get three draft tokens for Arena. That's not bad. I think they're like, what, 10,000, 20,000 gold for a draft token? 10,000 gold for a draft token?
Some of that, yeah. It's
somewhere,
high.
Somewhere in there. in that promotional window, draft once and you'll get a card style for of High Noon, one of the new cards from Thunder Junction. Draft twice. Oh, so okay, so you don't get three tokens. Once you get the card style High Noon. Draft twice, you get the sleeve of a sweet goblin card.
And if you draft three times,
you get the draft token.
You get that draft token.
So find a WPM store near you for that.
And Fargo, that is just Paradox.
I do want to state, though, this is kind of a cool promo that they're doing. You know, Wizards like doing a thing where it's like they're connecting in play and online. They tried it again. Yeah. They tried it last year, right? Where you played in store and you got like 1,000 XP on your Mastery
Pass. Like that.
Which is good. You know, and this is just another way for them to do it. Like, if they keep doing stuff like this where, you know, it's like, hey, playing these events, you get cool stuff on Arena. I think that's just like the cool thing, the cool, appropriate, the necessary thing.
Necessary.
to have.
Necessary evil.
Because it's like, yeah, play at your WPN, support them.
Yeah.
And then get cool rewards, not only at your WPN store for playing these drafts and stuff, but also on Arena. I think it's positive.
Yes.
Well, the next bit of news is a real quick one.
Yeah.
Wizards wants to hear what you have to think of Thunder Junction. Take their survey. They posted it on their Twitter.
Yeah, you can find it there. They got a great art piece there, too. Bovine Intervention.
Surveys do wonderful things. They inform Wizards what we like, what we don't like.
They are a stats-based company. We have talked about this so often. You know, I'm fine with beating this dead horse. You want to make changes, or hope to make changes in WotC. You know, like, this is the way that they're going to be pulling information. It'll go farther. It'll do more leaps and bounds filling out this survey than just screaming into Twitter.
Yes. So
there we go.
Survey link down below to the Twitter, or, you know, check your email if you're signed up for the WotC stuff.
Next bit of news we have is for Ultimate Guard. This article found on licensing.biz, powered by Toy World. Ultimate Guard announces gaming accessory license. Ultimate Guard has announced a gaming accessory license for Hasbro Magic the Gathering with art that ties into upcoming product set releases. Ultimate Guard has announced a licensing agreement with Hasbro and its Wizards of the Coast division for a line of Magic the Gathering gaming accessories. This enables the integration of art assets from the Magic the Gathering brand into the product line starting in 2024. As quoted from them, "We are so excited to forge this relationship with the beloved and storied branded of Magic the Gathering," said Patrick Hildebrandt, from CEO of HEO America and general manager of Ultimate Guard. "This amazing opportunity opens the doors to a wealth of creative possibilities. Beginning in 2024, Ultimate Guard will introduce products featuring officially licensed Magic the Gathering art that ties into upcoming product set releases. The first Magic the Gathering set to extensively accompanied by products is Bloomburrow, the standard legal set, marking the game's first ever exploration of the enchanting plane of the same name is scheduled for release in August of 24. Ultimate Guard will launch a line of Sidewinder 100-plus Xenoskin deck boxes featuring the borderless Field Notes artworks of several Calamity Beasts of Bloomborough, as well as a line of Zipfolio 360 Xenoskin binders. Further, there will be an Omnihive 1,000-plus Xenoskin, a sustainable RTE Boulder 100-plus, and a playmat with a design that revolves around the set's still-secret main storyline. Ultimate Guard looks forward to expanding and enriching its product range with works of art. Self-expression is a very important value to us. Our hope is that the community will see a bit of their own passion and personality reflected in these products, says Patrick. We can't wait to show you what we have in store. That's pretty cool.
When I saw this, I'm like, are they still working with Ultra Pro, or is this like Ultimate Guard? Like, is Watts, from what I see, yes, there's still stuff with Ultra Pro online. There's no like official statement that WotC and Ultra Pro aren't doing things together. Yeah. They're just now adding Ultimate Guard.
I think this is just a cash grab type thing of like, we'll scratch your back, you scratch ours in a sense type of thing. And now it's like you have Ultra Pro and you have Ultimate Gaming put together in the same field.
I'm going to cynical me. Maybe,
go for it.
Maybe at some point, this is just like the transition period between them letting go of Ultra Pro.
Yeah, but Ultra Pro's had a little bit of an upshift though in their stuff though.
Yeah, I mean they're still one of the biggest ones. Like they.
Yeah, but I'm saying like for
who's still is Ultra Pro with the Command Zone? I haven't listened to the Command Zone in fucking ages. But like, I think they're Ultra Pro, but I can't recall if they recently changed to Ultimate Guard.
I don't know, man.
As like a sponsor, Team CFB. They're also now Team CFB Ultimate Guard. So like, you know, Reed Duke LSV. They're also getting. Working with Ultimate Guard. Ultimate Guard is making some pushes, is what it seems.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the big difference, though, too, you have, like I said, Ultra Pro, their focus has been more for like sleeves, binders, like miniature things. Like, Ultimate Guard is the one that makes the deck boxes. You know, these are the guys that compete with Game Genics.
Yes. Both so, three deck boxes. Those are the two deck boxes I got most of.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I have a Game Genics and I have. Ultimate Guard, you know, the Xeno stuff. Personally, I like the Xeno stuff better. I do like the affordability of Game Genics a little bit more for what it is. But the thing is, I don't have, from their product to what they have, like, I haven't found, like, boxes that compare. Because the other part, too, is Ultimate Guard has the boulder cases. And I still love the boulder cases
boulder
a lot.
Boulder cases are fabulous, yeah.
And, like, I know some people, they kind of poo-poo on them and being like, it's okay, you can buy this instead or whatever. But, like, I don't know. I've seen stuff last longer in a boulder case. And in comparison, if I've tried some of the other ones, and I'm like, they kind of get a little loose on the sides a bit more faster than the others.
I think Boulder has like an A from the prof.
Yeah. So, I mean, also, quick shout, check out the prof's ratings on all the gear that you can get for your stuff. So,
yeah, he has really great important. Videos on all of that stuff.
But, like I said, I think this is great. Because remember, Ultra Pro stepped it up, and they have the Eclipse sleeves, which are huge. Those are very good sleeves. Good product. And even there's been a bit, like I was saying, with their sleeves of like their standard ones they have now with the, you know, magic pictures on the back, or whatever for it and stuff. Those have gotten better. I would definitely say those are not ones that you take to a tournament and to another tournament and to another tournament. Like they're good sleeves for either you're doing your limited stuff or they're good sleeves for like if you're playing in a serious tournament, like a Grand Prix or something or, you know, Magic Fest tournament. They're really good for the day in the sense, or they're good for the weekend. That's about it. I mean, let's be honest. They got to make some money. So
yeah,
that's what I got. That's all I know, man.
Next thing that we do know is that Hasbro last week dropped their first quarter financial results. You want to take this, Garrett, since this is up your alley?
You're going to have to do it because my computer died.
Oh, no. Womp. Do you need a power cord?
I don't think you have a Mac power cord, do you?
Oh, you didn't bring yours?
Nope.
Oh, well, okay.
Normally, I don't have to.
Okay, so we're going to quickly go over this. As we are aware, you know, we're not financial bros here. We're just going to cover the highlights. The first quarter 2024 highlights we have from Business Wire. First quarter, Hasbro revenue declined 24%, driven primarily by the E1 film and television divestiture. excluding the divestiture, revenue declined 9% with the growth of Wizards of the Coast and digital gaming segment up 7% and entertainment up 65%, more than offset the declines in the consumer products of a negative 21%. Operating profit of $116.2 million includes $32.4 million in intangible monetization association with E1, loss on disposal of business and costs associated with the company's transformation, operating margin of 15.3%. I know exactly what all these numbers mean and what they matter.
Sure you do.
Adjusted operating profit of $148.6 million, which is up $101.4 million versus PY. And adjusted operating margin.
Previous year.
Previous year. See, there you go. Intelligent Garrett. He's the stonk, bro. An adjusted operating margin of 19.6%, which is up 14.9 points versus the previous year. Driven by favorable business mix, supply chain productivity, and reduced operating costs. Hasbro's owned inventory down 53% versus the prior year, including a 57% decline in consumer products inventory versus the first quarter of 2023, reported net earnings of 42 cents per diluted share, adjusted net earnings of 61 per diluted share, benefiting from improved operations and favorable from the stock compensation adjustment and the net interest expense reduction. If I'm not mistaken, I think we talked about it on the episode one time, that people were predicting the shares, diluted shares of 42 cents would be way lower. So it turned out higher than what was expected, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall.
Yeah, something like that.
Operating cash flow of $177.8 million versus $88.8 million in the prior year, driven by improved operating results and benefits from working capital. And they paid $97.2 million in cash dividends to shareholders this quarter. Holy shit. Some things of notes. A lot of this, from my understanding, the reason for the dip in the Q1 is because previous, you know, they're still riding the high of Lord of the Rings, if I understand correctly. Yep. Those were showing up in Q4 and Q3 of last year, and those were just
really... So now they're starting to go down because they're not getting the revenue for it. But honestly, surprising that stocks are still $64 now a share. And I think last time we talked, they were low 50s. So
there we go.
There we go.
Hasbro climbing, baby.
But yeah, last little bit of the news before we jump into the Conjure Currency game.
A brand new Secret Lair just got announced.
Breaking news!
Breaking news. Brand new Secret Lair announced by Wizards of the Coast. If you get an email, or you can just listen to it here, is for Hatsune Miku comes a Secret Lair. For 17 years, Hatsune Miku has been thrilling fans with her digital performances as a virtual singer, and now the world-famous digital superstar has added a secret lair to her world tour. In the first of four amazing drops, Hatsune Miku brings her undeniable electricity to a set of cards featuring stunning art from Miku fans from around the world, inspired by the cherry blossoms and lightning of a Japanese spring. These cards will stun the table in English and or Japanese as well. There's a cool video that goes with this that if you want to check it out, go to the main page website and check it out.
I don't think any of us have watched this yet.
No, this is brand new.
Brand new.
We didn't know.
Like, we just got the email.
Well, I didn't know.
7/16.
I don't know if you watched it, and this is why your computer died, and you also unprofessional with your computer in front of you.
I'm sorry. That's how it goes. There is art by Jana Chu, Justina Dura, Mandy Jurgens, Danny Pendergast, Yukio Shimizumi, and the last one is Siutsuri.
And pricing and everything will be available on
May 15th. They have it. They have it already.
Oh, never mind.
It's in the article. So the cards.
I'm reading off of my email.
Yeah, you are. So the cards that they did were for Shelter. There is Chandra's Ignitions, which is Miku Spark. They harmonize. We have Azusa Lost But Seeking, which is Miku Lost But Singing. Really good.
A plus.
You got Feather the Redeemed with Miku the Renowned. Not as funny as the first one, but I will give you a grade A on that. And then, of course, Inspiring Vantage is a land.
I'll give that a C. The Renowned. I mean, yeah.
It's not as good as Lost but singing. Okay, come on.
A lost but seeking.
Come All right, so that's your contents or those. Pricing is set at non-foils for $29.99. Rainbow foils, another rainbow style foiling.
Well, I think the thing is
$39.99.
It's all rainbow now.
Yeah, they're
not doing any more of the old foiling stuff. Right? No.
From what they have posted online, that we've had this question before of like the rainbow and the traditional. What we think is traditional, they're moving to rainbow, or they just don't care of the clarification between rainbow and traditional.
Well, whatever they want.
AI probably wrote the ad.
AI wrote the ad. It happens.
Watsy.
Yes. So, about. I mean, if you let's be honest, we got to get to the next part.
We got cards here.
We got cards to talk about. But the thing is, if you want to know more about this, like I said, it just dropped. So go on the main home site of Wizards, check it out. Check out the new video. Find out more information about it. Like, I'm pretty sure it's probably some pretty good music to listen to even. I'm going to check it out and see what they're all about. You know,
I've listened to some Hatsune Miku stuff. It's pretty good. It's very Japanese pop. And I think they've done a lot of collaborations with like bigger band names and stuff as well. And from videos that I've seen, the whole virtual like concert experience of Hatsune Miku is like the crazy thing about it. So
yeah. So that ends the news. And on to our favorite part of the podcast, known as the Conjured Currency Game, where we go over to MTG Stocks, where they let us know what's moving up price and what card's moving down in price. This week, we have Big G playing.
What's up?
So, first off, and almost most important, Matt, can you give us a rundown of the points at the beginning of this entirety of this whole setup?
Rundown. Currently, we have... We'll start with you, Anthony. You're in at a nice, crisp 1.25 points this quarter.
Yep.
We have Garrett at a solid 2.75.
Yes.
Far and away the leader of the pack at this moment.
Yeah, Garrett.
Danny.
Yeah.
Solid 2.
Nice.
Solid 2. And me.
He is a solid 2. I'm calling him the shit.
Hey.
He didn't get it.
That's pretty good. And then I am sitting at 2.35.
How the fuck did you get that high?
He had an easy week, man. That's what it was.
Did he have two rounds?
No, only one round.
Jesus.
No, this is all of us at one round so far.
What the shit?
I told you he had an easy week. Mine was probably one of the harder ones.
Cheating motherfucker. You cheating.
Matt's cheating. He had to make himself look good compared to last season's setup there for the quarter one. Quarter two's different.
All right, hit me with them cards.
All right, starting it off with the weekly winners. We have number one, Scorpic Lord, which is out of the Universes Beyond Warhammer 40K cards. It is 2 and a black for an artifact creature, Necron Noble, with menace, and also has... I got to go to the card, sorry. God damn it.
Can't it has read the... command protocols.
Yeah, command protocols. Other artifact creatures you control get +1/+0 and have menace. It also has Unearth, which is for 2 and a black. And of course, remind people what Unearth is. You pay that mana cost, you return this card from the graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste, you exile it at the beginning of the next end step, or if it would leave the battlefield, and Unearth can only be done as a sorcery.
Oh. Okay.
So.
What's the pricing?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So the price of this was at $5.98 of the article, which was a 1,323% increase. Now, of course, this is an article that came out last Friday, sometimes Thursdays, but this is stuff where that changes. So right now...
Is it because we record on a Monday?
This is because we record on a Monday,
man.
Oh,
okay.
I know. You're usually the one who reads this for everybody all the time. So we have a market price, which market is everyone's trying to...
Sell.
And average is everyone trying to...
Buy.
Thanks.
Reverse.
What's that?
Reverse. Average is what people are selling at or wanting to sell it at. Market is what people are actually buying it at.
Okay, whatever.
Yes.
I was leaning over here. I don't know.
He set it out of order. I was going in order of the screen that I'm really looking at.
Anyway,
left to right, it's sell, buy.
So what you're saying
sell
is...
Sell, buy, European average.
You're not listening to Anthony.
No, I'm listening.
I'm just visualizing
the website.
Anyways,
in my head.
Average price right now is $5.28. Market price, $5.07. European average, €1.71. This card has literally two versions, the main deck and the surge foil. So we're not going to go there. As of date, all-time low on January 8th of 23, 36 cents.
Damn it.
All-time high on April 21st was $7.97.
Ew.
All right, Garrett. What format is this? Well,
what's it legal?
Sorry about. We'll talk about legality.
Legacy, Vintage, Commander, and Oathbreaker.
Yes.
Oathbreaker. Nah, I'm fucking with
you. All right, so we go with the game for points. Half a point is for format. Another half is for, depending on what format you pick, if it be a standardized format, explain what type of deck it's a part of, or if it's for Commander, try to be as close as you can to the Commander slash also the strategy. We'll give you maybe 0.25 or a little bit extra because we don't like Matt. So,
you know what?
What is your guess for format?
I'm going to fuck around a little bit because I got a healthy lead. It's from a Commander deck. Going Legacy.
What deck in Legacy?
Fuck if I know.
So you're just going to pick a format, but you're not even going to guess?
I'm not going to look at you. You probably read the article, not to this point. But I'm going to look at you.
Don't look at him.
I'm going to look at him.
I have not read the article.
You know why I'm going to look at him?
Because I'm a sexy face. I don't have ketchup on my shirt.
You don't have ketchup on your shirt, which means I'm not picking red in the deck.
Good call. But you know what? I can give you that.
I'm going to pick probably your favorite non-monocolored deck. Going Dimir. Something in Dimir.
Okay.
I have zero fucking ideas. But eventually...
Locking it in?
A Commander card is going to be a Legacy reason.
Locking it in?
Only if today's the day. Is today the day?
So, Legacy format?
Yep.
And you're just staying randomly a Dimir deck?
Because I'm just looking at Matt, because if this is wrong, I don't care.
before you answer, though, I want to put my two cents in this.
No.
No?
No.
Let me hear your two cents.
No.
Is it Commander?
I'm also with you on Legacy.
He can put his two cents in after.
You with me on Legacy?
I'm with you on Legacy because I was listening to a podcast.
Shut up. You can't put your two cents in.
I'm letting him put his two cents
in. He locked his answers in. Legacy.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell him to lose the points first?
You know what? Go ahead. Yeah, Debbie Downer. You spoil sports, not letting us have any fun.
You were listening.
Worse than Danny with his NIF visits.
You were listening to a podcast?
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast about the finances of this card, and they were talking about it. And one of the things is showing up in Legacy Moto challenges popping up. And I think it's because of
I think that's your playoff music.
Anyways, give the man half a point.
Half a fucking point.
There we go. Okay.
Fuck yeah.
Because he was right. It is not because of Commander. It is because of Legacy. And then I would almost give you Dimir, but the problem is it's not really a Dimir deck. It is actually...
So it's a splash of black or blue?
No. It's based off of a blue theme deck for the whole setup. It's not Dimir. They just have... Like, I can't say this is a Dimir deck because that's the only fucking black card in it, minus the sideboard, which, once again, is two cards that you can't count towards Dimir as well because, for example, it's a Legacy deck for Affinity. And like I said, I can't count it as Dimir because this is the only black card in it versus, like, Dismember and Leyline of the Void, which you know as well as anyone else is a very popular two cards that gets put in almost any fucking deck. And yes, are they black inside of a blue deck? Sure, but it's not Dimir. This is a Affinity-based deck. But you are still right, though. That is a Commander card inside of Legacy.
And it's because of...
The reasoning why is because of Simulacrum Synthesizer, which came out of the Big Score, and finding out that the Big Score cards have been on a very low pull rate.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, it's...
No shit.
It's like 1 in 600 or 1 in 6,000?
Yes.
1 in 6,000 for the Big Score.
Nice.
For each one, because they're Mythic or whatever.
The Big Score cards are set at Mythic Rarity.
They're very hard to pull. Yes. And remember, the Big Score is supposed to be its own separate sheet.
It was supposed to be the Aftermath.
The Aftermath. Anyways, easier to get.
So, quick explanation. Spike is for Legacy. A new archetype is becoming popular there since the printing of Simulacrum Synthesizer. For the 3-mana artifact that creates a contract token when you that you get a +1/+1. Anyways, we know what contract tokens do. The token sounds familiar. because Urza's Saga, another staple in Legacy, can create the same kind of tokens, and that has proven to be a win condition on its own. Synthesizer itself can also be found on this week's interesting going up with 166% increase. So yes, the overall thing. They also mention a really important thing, another Universes Beyond card that has for Warhammer as well, which is Sakaarian Infiltrator has gone up in price to $11.93. Mm. This is one that is 2 and a blue for an artifact creature, human soldier, 1/2 with flash that also has squad 2, which means if you pay the squad cost, you get 2 additional copies of it. Or, no, wait. You get an additional copy cost, or, okay, you pay the thing. Whenever this creature enters the battlefield, create that many squads that are copies of it for each opponent. What is it?
Oh, am I supposed to look up that card?
Nah, I'll look it up. You just look up Simulacrum Synthesizer. That's the one you're looking at right now.
That is the one I'm looking at right now.
I just can't read the stupid fine print. Squad is pay 2 generic for this one. As an additional cost to cast this, you may pay 2 any number of times. When this creature enters the battlefield, create that many tokens that are copies. This also plays into Simulacrum Synthesizer because Simulacrum Synthesizer is all about that anytime an artifact with value of 3 or greater enters, not cast, enters, you get to make a construct token. And yeah, these...
Oh, the squads have a mana cost.
Yeah, because they're copies.
Yeah.
They have a copy version. So the same thing. This with Esoteric Duplicator, you know, anything that is making something that has a converted mana cost of 3 or more, you're getting this. That means multiple copies of this being played is really good. It just gets out of control. Right now I'm playing a standard deck in Arena that runs this.
Did you pick up copies of this in paper yet?
I did. Because I bought the showcase ones for $28 a piece originally where they were set at. Now they're up to like $85.
$75 is what's showing here from TCG.
That's a common one, but I've been looking through TCG Player over the weekend and stuff, and they've been sitting at solid like 80s all the time. Like, they're hard to come by.
Foils 118.
Yeah, foils are insane. I'm not worried about foils. And I mean, I also actually...
It looks very beautiful.
It is. And then I also, over the weekend, I took the time to sit around and really contemplate it. So I bought another 6 copies of just the regular version. And I was able to find those being sold at like $33 to $34 a piece, which I had to do some digging on. But like, I'm setting my Simulacrum Synthesizer for a while. So I'm pretty happy. But it's a great card. But like Garrett said, like, it's really small print. It's hard to pull. Matt said that. Like Matt said, it's very small print run of that card, really, because it's this sheet thing. And like, once again, Wizards doing a great job making their own reserve type list cards.
Well, I do want to point out, I'm pretty sure that the big scorecards, like there's going to be multiple waves of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. There's a chance that, you know, the numbers could get increased and stuff as the next wave of products comes out, and it should drop. Like, I would argue that we're just kind of in a hype. Give it, you know, another 2 weeks when the next wave of cards.
Hold on now.
Hopefully.
I will argue this, though. With that card alone, Synthesizer, keep your eyes on the fucking dial, because right now, between Legacy and Modern having a revitalizing of Affinity, those ones, I'm not sure that they're going to actually stabilize under 25 to 30. You need four.
Three, four of those.
So if you can hold off on, if you don't want to build Affinity, don't buy them right away. If you just need one for Commander, just buy the cheapest version. You don't have to get the showcase one unless you really want that fucking mucho looking color or card design. And if you really want the foils, well, good luck, because you know how we all feel about foils right now. They're okay.
How do you feel about what points to give Garrett for that one?
What's the point?
I said he gets half a point.
Oh, okay. But you were trailing off with debating on more point on that.
No, I said I could have gave him for the Dimir saying.
I would have given you a 0.6.
But I'm not going to, because this is the only black card in the deck.
You said Dimir.
Wow. Wow. Because it's a black card, huh? Wow.
That's your problem. You made it that fucking way.
You're the one that said it.
0.5.
It's the only black card in there.
Shut your mouth. Going on to the second one, we have Grima, Sauron's Footman. This is now at $4.97, as the article, 234% increase. Average price right now is $4.96. Market price, $4.38. European average, 98 cents. Grima is a legendary human advisor. 2 blue and black. Hey, he's Dimir. There you go. He cannot be blocked. When he deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile an instant or sorcery card. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then that player puts the exile cards that weren't cast this way on the bottom of their library in a random order. Also to note, this is a Tales of Middle-earth commander card. So you get this out of the deck or you get out of the collector packs. Garrett, what is your format? Oh, also, sorry. Matt, will you please tell us the formats it's legal in?
Legacy, Vintage, Commander, and Oathbreaker.
So
there are three printings of this as well. You got the scroll one that came out with last the holiday.
Fall Christmas time.
The holiday bundles, the regular one, and the
extended art
that came out in the boosters, the Collecty Bees.
This one I'm going Commander, and I'm going Five Boots, because I actually just finally watched the Thunder Junction game nights.
And Felix, it seems Five Boots.
It feels like it'd be a good one for this deck. And honestly, this would be an episode of Game Nights that Danny should watch.
Ooh.
Vess is in it.
Ooh.
Who's in it?
Talia Vess.
Oh, nice.
Is she playing Five Boots?
I can't remember if she's the Five Boots player or somebody else is, but.
Can we, little Five Boots conversation here. I want it to be like canon. Five Boots is related to the Mimeoplasm. That's it.
I'm sure that all slimes are related.
Yeah, something. Anyways, now, Commander.
Locking in.
For what?
Commander Five Boots.
That's right.
Because it does the attack or the combat damage double triggers. I don't like that you're thinking so hard. You know how it taxes you.
Give the man a 0.95.
Where the fuck are you pulling 0.95 out of your ass?
Because.
He's bad at giving points, that's why.
No, I'm not bad at giving points.
How the fuck do you come up with 0.95?
I just did, okay?
Give the man a full point.
No, you get 0.95. Because the reason this is going up is actually because of Gonti, Canny Acquisitioner.
The fuck's that one do?
It's the new deck, the Sultai one.
Sultai Gonti.
And yes, Felix Five Boots is in this deck, but Felix is not the reason for it. But it's also played with it. I can't give you a full point because of that.
I would argue that it should have been like a 7.5 at this rate.
Nine five's fine by me there, Matt.
The amount of time talked about Gonti over Felix. Felix was a sentence.
Yeah. He just said.
He was extremely generous. Just understand.
Added.
You leave that 9.5 alone, okay? I'm fine with the 9.5. I'm done questioning the 9.5.
Anyways, it is Commander is because the new Gonti deck slash also the optional switch over to Felix. Felix is not so much the main reason due to the fact that Gonti himself. Shut up, Matt. Stop crying because we like to cheat you on points.
I'm not saying it's cheating. I'm just saying.
You're just mad because we're not as generous to you.
No, I'm not being mad. I'm pointing out
generous.
The fact.
I gave that motherfucker a 0.1.
Yeah, he gave you a 0.1 one time. Not this time.
He did this
during
time.
Quarter one. Oh, did I? Yeah, I gave you 0.1.
You gave me 0.1 this quarter too? No, that's nice of you. Anyways, so that's because of the new guy deck because it's all about stealing stuff. So
yeah, it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Note to people as well. On this commander, not a great one to play over spell table. But if you do, have fun. Moving on to the next card, we have Norn the Wary. One of our good friend Ben's favorite cards of all time, because he's a crazy motherfucker that likes things. Here we have Norn the Wary, which has rose to $17.12, which has a 163% increase. Norn the Wary, this version being the one from original Time Spiral, actually, is a one red legendary creature human warrior. Whenever a player casts a spell, because that's the change of the wording, casts a spell or a creature attacks, exile Norn the Wary. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. Financial prices we have, our average price is $15.46, market price $8.68, foils $55, European average €1.88. We have an all-time high of 34 cents, or all-time low of 34 cents in June 27th, 2012. All-time high of $36.99 in April 21st of this year. And then, of course, there's only...
two printings, this and the list.
Yep, this and the list, and foils.
I'm sorry, what did you guys say?
the list. Thank you. So, Big G.
Have a fad bat. I have a bad.
Hey, hold on. Can I get a breakdown of what this is legal in, please?
It is legal in Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, and Oathbreaker.
Just because the only place I've seen this goddamn card get played is with Ben, and I'm confident it's a Modern deck because it's the Soul Sisters. I'm going Modern, and I have no idea what deck, so I'm going Soul Sisters.
Locking it in.
Modern Soul Sisters.
Give this man half a point.
Can I put my 2 cents in?
You can put your 2 cents in after I'm fucking done, so shut up.
It's Modern.
Put it in half a point. First, I'm going to read this thing. Put your 2 cents in after we're done.
It takes away the reveal. I know the answer.
Then why would you put your 2 cents in?
Just to look smart.
Shut up, Matt. Anyways.
Garrett, so it's modern.
It is not a Soul Sisters deck.
Okay.
It is actually because of our good old buddy, Aspiring Spike, who is crafting and brewing around Sitaru the Infiltrator.
How do you spell that?
Sitaru the Infiltrator. That guy.
That one right there.
So it says in the article, Norn's time to shine had come sooner or later. Play on his ability later. There are people who have built Norn commander decks, but he doesn't appear to be extremely popular. Norn Delay Flicker itself is whenever a player, not just you, plays a spell, or when a player, not just you, attacks, which makes Norn hard to remove, but also makes him a lousy blocker. Not that him being a 2-1 makes him a good blocker otherwise. But again, Commander doesn't seem to have the driver in this card. This time, it's not Legacy, it's Modern. Aspiring Spike created a deck during a live brewing session where he put 4 copies of Norn into, or in that, that was hard reading, Norn in that was made possible by a new card, Sitaru the Infiltrator. Whenever one or more creatures enter the battlefield and no mana was used to cast any of them, you get to draw a card. Since Norn flickers, that draw card potentially during all turns, together with Aether Vial and flicker spells like Ephemerate, that card gets you a lot of cards in a short amount of time. So, which also this deck list is pretty fucking funny and cool looking.
What one?
The Aspiring Spike one. So creatures in here, Eternal Witness, Imperial Recruiter 4, Jirina from the Aftermath set, Dauntless General is 1, Meddling Mage for 4, Norn 4, Reflector Mage 1, Sitaru 4, Solitude, Subtlety, and Unsettled Mariner for 4 each. You have Aether Vial for 4, Ephemerate for 4, and then you have Ancient Ziggurat for 4, Aired Mesa for 2, Cavern Souls 4, Flooded Shrine 4, Godless Shrine 1, Hollowed Fountain 2, 1 Plains, 2 Reflecting Pool, 1 Sacred Foundry, Sideboard. I mean, I can read this, but it's really not that important because you build your own sideboards. But anyways, a very interesting take on a flicker deck because of Sitaru the Infiltrator. So.
Currently as well, the price of Sitaru here is shy of $5.
Average 5.
The pre-release and the Planeswalker stamped one don't have prices, at least on Scryfall, and I don't feel like clicking.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I did get one of these in my two-headed giant sealed pool, though.
So.
This was my pre-release card.
It's a good card.
I love Sitaru. He's cool. The new version's pretty cool. So, yeah. Matt, you want to give us the cheap pickups?
Cheap pickups indeed. Cards that are cheap and for you to pick up according to.
You want me to read them? I'm right. I got them up.
No, I got them right here. We got Bloodghast, the Ixalan commander deck, Lost Caverns of Ixalan, moving up. This one was pointed out by the MTG Stocks Premium Penny Stocks, going at $4.58. Here's one that I'm kind of hyped about. Lord of the Void Retro Frame, $4.15. This one was like almost a $20 card, if I'm not mistaken.
This was big before it got a reprint.
Yeah, because it was only printed in Return to Ravnica.
Yep.
Was it Guild Gatecrash, like the low purchased one?
I think it was Gatecrash.
$4.15 Retro Frame and going down. Then we have Branching Evolution, $3.20, which is the Fallout Commander deck one. Version of this.
Yeah.
Branching Evolution, very popular commander card.
It is great.
There you are.
All right. What are our point standings right now, Matt?
Same as before, except now Garrett is at 5.7.
Ooh.
Sup, bitches.
He getting there. I'm still waiting for someone else to get a full Monty.
Garrett was the closest so far.
He has been close.
He is close. 2.75 is his best one. And I think that's the best one from even last time as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
Quick check. But while we do a quick check, we'll just quickly mention here, go check out the guys at TCG Sniper. They're a great price tracking website. You can get notified when cards move up or down in price. They're very worth it. Sign up, have a free account. You get 15 cards to enter in or products. And then if you say the guys at This Week in MTG sent you, you will get 3 months free of their plus programming, which will give you unlimited. Highly worth checking out.
Yes.
Now, do you guys have anything else you want to add before we get to the end of this?
Yeah, I'm just really still excited for this Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight.
I mean, yes, I am.
Is there another promo about that?
No, it's just like I pulled up our Twitter. And it's like, one of these things is not like the other. One of them's gonna die.
I could go either way.
And it's not the pigeons in the picture with Mike Tyson. Nope, nope, nope.
It's true.
I do want to say here real quick. There was a full Monty last quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony. I had it. I know.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for someone else to get it now.
Garrett, you had the next closest last quarter with the only 2.75. Yeah. And then the next closest one was you again with 2.5. Last quarter.
Last quarter, I got fucking lucky.
And so far, you're on a very hot streak.
And he's on a hot streak.
1.95 and 2.75 again.
Honestly, the legacy bullshit, like,
I just love how excited you got about the fact that a commander card in Legacy type thing.
Well, it's just
that was just the best.
The fact that every time he's gone, it's Commander. No, it's fucking Legacy.
It's, I know.
And I'm like, just to fucking spite Matt, I'm gonna say Legacy.
I'm gonna fuck around, say Legacy.
Thank you to all of you, legendary magic folk, for making it to the end of episode 229 of This Week in MTG. As we wrap up another episode, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to our incredible listeners and Patreons. Your enthusiasm fuels our passion for all things magic, and we're honored to be a part of this vibrant community. Stay tuned for more exciting updates, discussions, and insights in the world of MTG. Until then, may your mana be plentiful and your draws ever favorable. Keep gathering those magical moments.
Bye.
See you.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!
He is a solid two. I'm calling him the shit.